everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Coastline Covenant podcast, week two of our Blueprints series, and you are in for quite a treat. Michael and I sit down with Tiffany Adams, and we talk about the prayer team, the prayer life of Coastline Covenant Church. We get into our own individual prayer lives, our experience with prayer, and honestly, kind of a little bit of a challenge to the congregation of how we can be a praying church. And I'll give you a hint. It starts with you. So listen, be blessed, and if you don't end this conversation wanting to be a prayer warrior, I don't know what to tell you. So I'm really, really excited for this episode, and I really want to thank Tiffany and Michael for jumping on and being so open and honest about prayer at Coastline. So thanks for listening. We'll see you next week and every single week after that. Welcome. This is great. I'm so excited. Week two of the Blueprints series here at Coastline Covenant Church. Today, we're talking about being a church that prays, and I am with two of the best prayers of all time. If there were trading cards for prayers, you'd have your two best prayers right here. You have Mr. Michael Barker, who is not only the worship pastor here at Coastline, you are kind of the staff, right? The staff representative on like the prayer team, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I am.
And we'll talk about that. But we also have here the queen of my heart, a woman that I love dearly, who has been instrumental in my own life and the life of my wife and in Coastline and in my ministry experience. And also as someone who prays, someone who I have asked for prayer in my life, which I don't do often. It's your friend and mine, Tiffany Adams.
Woohoo!
Mm. What an intro, he says.
That's really sweet and so nice and kind of crazy.
When I fell and broke my collarbone, I was in a lot of pain. Monumental amount of pain.
I don't know if we would have known it, Hunter. You were walking around here like, yeah, I did a thing.
We did a thing. Broke our collarbone. No, so I broke my collarbone and I was voice texting Megan on the way to the hospital. And I said, can you text Tiffany or Nikki or somebody who prays to pray for me? Cause I was in so much pain. And I think Tiffany and Nikki went to the hospital and prayed outside of it.
We did. I left work. It was a great reason to leave work early that day. But no, we did. We sat in the parking lot and we prayed for you in the parking lot. It was great.
And that's the kind of gal you are. That's the kind of prayer-er you are. And that's why there are trading cards about you being prayer.
Not that anybody would want a trading card of me.
Oh, I would love one. I think if someone's listening right now and they have the means to make a Tiffany Adams prayer card, not like a, hey, pray for me, Tiffany Adams, but like a, this is like a basketball card, but of a prayer, that'd
I think
be the one.
The funny thing is that, you know, most trading cards have like the person like standing, you know, like on the field, you know, on the, you know, in the court, you know, doing their thing. She'd be in some closet somewhere, you know, in some like back room that, you know, someone said, oh yeah, you can use that room.
I saw it in my head of like, the card is like the picture of her like looking head on, but like her arm is out of the frame. So it looks like her arm's on you.
Oh my God.
Like when you're holding the trading card, like, oh my
gosh.
An
action shot?
Yeah, it's an action shot. Yes.
This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. So please, nobody make a trading card with my name.
She said her fingers are crossed. She wants it really.
Yeah, right.
She's in a parking lot somewhere.
No.
Just.
She's praying for a prayer playing card. This is actually like impossible for me to say. I keep trying in my head to get all the like syllables and like the lull of it. I'm like player praying card.
I'm
like,
so
I don't know how
that,
to say it.
No, I'm so glad that April Fool's Day has passed and that this is not a thing right now.
Significantly passed. Yes. But it is not an April Fool's joke to say that you two are integral in the life of Coastline, especially as it comes to prayer. And so that's what I wanted to talk to you guys about today. This idea of blueprints of building a great church. Sean mentioned it last week on the podcast, but he's really excited about a church that prays. And I think a church that prays feels a little bit like a gas station that has gas or like a grocery store that has cereal. It's like, well, yeah, totally. But I think in my experience, and I'd be interested in your guys' thoughts as well, churches don't really highlight prayer beyond like a pray for the sermon, pray for the offering. Maybe if something significant's happening in our world or in our congregation, you know, let's pray. But like churches with a prayer ministry feels a little bit more rare than you'd think. And so I wonder your guys' perspective, just to kind of start us off. Why do we think that is?
Because I think it's because we as the human race have little faith. And I think that prayer requires faith. Like it requires the idea that you actually believe that when you say something to God, that he hears you, that he responds to what you say, that he cares about what you say, and that it actually changes things. And so I look at someone like you, Tiffany, and I think you probably have the gift of faith. Mm. You have the gift. God has given you an extra measure, an extra portion of faith, the ability to say, I actually believe that when I say this, that God's here and he's listening. And you may not always feel super faith-filled.
Right.
But I think for people who are going to be on the prayer ministry at our church, they're people that are, that kind of have, if you imagine your cup, you know, you're the cup of your life. They've got just a little extra faith to pour out into someone else.
I love that.
Yeah, that's so good. It's good.
Michael, in your experience working in churches, when people come to you and say like, hey, we want to do like a prayer ministry or we want a prayer team, do you get excited? Do you think to yourself like, oh, okay, I've seen this before. It's going to fizzle out. Like, what's your initial emotional response to that?
Yeah. So, I mean, the way that I kind of rolled into this role was that when Sean, Garrett, Hunter, myself sat down when we were first starting Coastline.
The fired four, as we've been called
the
previously.
The fired four. Yes. When the fired four sat down and we were fired up about Coastline.
Hey, that's why we were the fired
that's
four.
That's right.
Thank you.
We were fired
Thank
up.
You. That's great.
I wanted to repurpose that.
I love that. I think that's wonderful.
So there was a question. There's just a question that went out like, hey, A, what are you passionate about? What do you want to do? I mean, I think we kind of all had some idea of what we would be doing, but we realized that multiple hats were going to have to be worn in order to make a whole church run. So what are you passionate about and what do we need? And I think for me, it was just really clear that, you know, worship, obviously, and then tech because someone has to do it. And then prayer is key to my heart. I feel like worship and prayer are the same thing. There's really not a difference between the two things. One involves singing, at least at Coastline and in the more corporate setting, and the other one just doesn't involve singing. Or maybe it does, and you know, those are really fun prayer times. But but yeah, all I'm saying is that's how I kind of ended up here, and I totally forgot the question you asked me.
I was saying, like, what's your emotional response? Like, okay, Michael, you said you're passionate about prayer. Let's make a prayer team. Are you like, yes, I'm excited about that?
Yes.
Or are you like, no, I don't want to.
Okay. Now, the reason I went there is because I was super excited about it. And yes, it is something that has a tendency to fizzle.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of getting
it's
at.
It's both, right? Yeah. And I think for me, it looked like a challenge. It looked like, man, I would love to see a prayer team that doesn't feel like it's fizzling or doesn't feel like it's an afterthought. I would love to see, and I think I don't think our prayer team feels like an afterthought at Coastline, but I do think we're still fighting for it to be not just a medium thought, to be a forethought, you know, to be like primary, for it to be something that we turn to first. And so we've got plenty of congregants that you know, give us prayer requests every week for us to be praying about, and our prayer team's doing that. We'll probably get into that later, but I just wanted to say, you know, to me, it looked like a challenge. So that's, yeah.
A good challenge?
A good challenge.
A challenge worth taking on?
Yeah.
Nice. And we'll put a pin in the idea of, like, not only it fizzling out, but, like, just kind of this concept of you've seen it fizzle out. Like, you've experienced it. And I want to hear maybe a little bit more about that. But Tiffany, what's your reaction to somebody reaching out to you and saying, hey, we want to have a prayer team and we want you on it? Are you like, great, I am a professional prayer as evidenced by all of my trading cards? Or are you like, I don't want to get involved in this way? Or are you, yeah, what is your response to that?
Gosh, my response is, now at this time of my life, yes, absolutely. Like 100%. Because to me, a church that doesn't, I'm not saying that churches don't pray, but a church that doesn't make prayer important and kind of highlighted falls very flat for me. So like, I feel like that is just, it's almost like a, well, yeah, duh. Like that's what you do, right? You pray. Like we're in church and we're Christians and we have a relationship with God. So part of that is let's pray. And it's easy for me. It's natural for me. So like, it just feels like it's absolutely something that we should be doing. So yes, I'm super excited.
What does it look like when a church doesn't highlight prayer? Like, you both kind of mentioned that. You got both, you, Tiffany just said it's important to me that a church would do that. Michael, you kind of said the same thing. Like, what's it look like when a church doesn't highlight prayer? And like, let's kind of turn the mirror on Coastline. Like, are there ways in which we as a congregation and we as a church body don't highlight prayer?
Yeah, I mean, I think that as evidenced by Adam and Eve, okay, there is a human tendency, a human nature thing within us to naturally want to solve our own problems. Instead of thinking, hey, I've got a problem. I'm really hungry and I want that apple. We figure out a way to get it ourselves, to figure out how to solve our own hunger and just and figure it out. And I think what prayer is it's a plea to say, I can't figure it out on my own. And it's a relational way of saying, God, I want to invite you. I don't want to do life alone in my own autonomy, in my own strengths, in my own abilities, or even in my own wallowing, in my own despair. I want to do all of that with you. And so, yeah, I think, I'm just saying, I think that it is tough to as a human, not just as a prayer team, not just as a church, it's just hard as a human to turn to prayer because we have a natural tendency to want to do things on our own. So I think that is evidenced in how it can feel tough sometimes at churches to see a thriving prayer ministry or prayer team.
Because you just have a congregation and a staff of people who want to solve problems themselves, is what you're saying, right?
I think so. I mean, I think that's our natural tendency, and I'm not speaking of any one person. No, I think I'm speaking about the human condition, all of us.
Yeah.
I think we all tend to do that.
We're also very capable humans. Like, we can problem solve,
yeah,
and we can figure this kind of stuff out. We do it all day long. But I think the difference with prayer is, maybe I'm jumping off on a tangent. If I am, I'm sorry. You can edit this out. But like, God, I feel like, is always calling us into a place of prayer because he knows it's good for us.
Yeah.
Mm. And we don't always say yes. Sorry. Or acknowledge that because we're so busy saying, I can figure this out for myself. And I think we can, but I think God wants to do more and we just need to allow him to do it.
I think that's so wise, Tiffany. And I think some of the more practical responses I hear about, if I were to pitch this to somebody, like, we don't really highlight prayer because we want to solve our own problems, they would say something to the extent of like, well, I do pray, but I don't really see anything happen. Like, I pray for healing and it doesn't happen, or I pray for this and it doesn't happen. And Tiffany, what I hear you saying is, well, what if prayer isn't for the thing?
Yep.
Right? What if it's for the relationship? And that makes the bottom line impossible to quantify.
So true.
And if you need a church or a ministry or something to have a bottom line that's quantifiable, prayer does not fit. And so
that
I think is where we get the rub of like, well, I don't really know if it's working because I don't really get what I'm getting out of it, versus I just absolutely love what Tiffany said. God knows prayer is good for us. So Tiffany, when did you discover that for yourself, that prayer is good for you, regardless of whether or not you get what you're praying for, or you, you know, have the manna coming down from heaven in your backyard?
Yeah, I was thinking about this. I became a Christian when I was in the sixth grade, right? So junior high, super awkward, goofy time of life, right? But that was when I became a Christian. And from that moment, I was a person who prayed always. I just always was. Now, in sixth and seventh and eighth grade, was I praying for the same things I'm praying for now? Absolutely not. But like, there was this like instant, like this instant gift where I knew talking to God was important. So I would say from just a really, really young age, it's just always been a thing for me. But clearly the older I've gotten, the wiser I've gotten, the more gray hair I've gotten, it's changed, right? I mean, my relationship with God has evolved and changed and grown over the years. And so I totally lost what you were trying to say. What was your question?
The question was, you basically answered it. When did you realize that prayer is good for you?
Yeah, early on. For sure. So totally early on, I just think the things that I was praying for were probably a little bit more selfish. And they still are. I mean, I'm not going to lie. They still are.
Well, you said like, we're not praying for the same things I was praying for when I was in sixth grade. And I kind of want to be like, your math tests. Like, I hope you're not. Like, that'd be wild.
Right, right.
But I love that point you're making, Tiffany. Like, you don't need to have some deep theological degree or a billion years of church experience to know prayer is important. Like, you could be a sixth grader and be like, I think it's kind of important that I talk to God.
Yeah, which is so cool, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you're a young person listening, talk to God. He really wants to hear from you. And not just like, I mean, he cares about your math test.
Right.
And all your stuff. But like, he also is doing something in you that you look 10, 5, 10, 20 years down the road, which I know seems like forever. But like, there are some intentional things that God is doing when you're young and you know you should be praying and God's talking to you.
And Michael, is there a situation where like you might miss what God is doing if you're not in active prayer with him? Like, I'm thinking about the sixth grader 10 years ago who didn't pray, who wasn't super involved in a prayer life, you know, when it in between second and third period or whatever. And then they become an adult and then a big thing happens in their life and they're like, man, God's really on the move. And someone, maybe a small group leader, a pastor is like, yeah, God's been doing this for a long time in your life. We've all noticed it. Where have you been? And they're like, oh, I wasn't praying. Is that a reality, you think?
Yeah, I think a reality is that prayer, it opens our eyes to what it is that God's actually doing. You start having conversations, real conversations about the things that are happening in your heart. And I think we as Christians can often totally lose the fact that there's things actually happening in our hearts daily, that there's things emotionally happening and spiritually happening inside us at our core that are affecting us, that are hurting us, that are helping us. We're feeling things. We're sensing things. God is shaping us. He's sanctifying us deep in our spirit, in our soul, more into his image. And the thing is that we can kind of think, no, I'm the same today as I was 10 years ago. And you just feel no different, right? Sometimes we don't feel any different. But when you're having prayer, it's kind of like journaling, right? And journaling can be a part of prayer. But what I mean is when you're the act of journaling, you can go back and look and go, man, I'm so different. Look at what I was asking for, talking about, thinking about back in fifth grade, right? And you're like, man, I'm thinking about a lot of different things now as a 36-year-old, right? But prayer, it gives you this marker. It gives you this way of going, man, this is the thing that's on my heart today. When you actually sit and can find the depth of where you're at, this is the thing that's actually on my heart. I'm not kind of just passively going about my day, not actually knowing the core of what's going on inside me. Prayer helps you find that, which then helps you see the thing that probably a lot of your friends are seeing. Prayer can be a mirror to yourself of how you are doing.
So good.
That's really profound. And that's a very individualistic looking at prayer, right? Like, we're looking at prayer in the individual space. There's nothing wrong with that, but this is a conversation about church. And so let's put this on a community level. What does it look like for a church to be doing that? What does it look like for a church to be kind of doing that, like, quote unquote, journaling as a community?
So I think as a church, it is really, really important to be, as we're in community with one another, we sit in community groups, whatever it is, to be doing this on some level together. It really is. Like, it doesn't have to necessarily come from the front, but I think when you're in community with other believers and you are willing to be vulnerable and you're willing to be open and you're willing to share and also pray for others, that's huge. I mean, for me, like, we're not sitting in a community group right now. I'm really sorry, but we're not. But we will. But I have.
You were, by the way.
I was.
You were hosting.
Yes,
one,
we were. So. We were. This has just been a crazy year. So.
Oh, I thought you meant like right now. And I'm like, yeah, like, of course we're not in a community group right now. Like, we're in my office talking about this stuff.
But I think, like, for me, I have a group of women that I, like, we follow each other and we have a group. Like, we have a group chat. And if something is going on, that is the first place.
Wow.
We're going, right? It is, hey, this is what's going on. And man, I'll tell you, these women will stop doing whatever they're doing. They will pause and they will pray. And in this group, we have seen God move in crazy ways. And I think that's just one way that as a church, we can do this. Like, it is not just individual, but it can be small groups like that. But it is, there's God moves. It's so powerful. Mm-hmm. That's just one way.
Okay. I want to share a story, if that's okay. I'll try to make it short.
Go for it.
So I think, first of all, what I want to say is that I think the way God does this in an entire church is, I think he does it through individuals, because the stories of God are the stories of all of us. Meaning, if God's heals Hunter of a broken foot, that's something for me. That's something for all of us, right? A broken collarbone.
Thank you.
If God heals your broken collarbone, that is a story for all of us. That's not just your story, because you're part of the body of Christ. And so we, you know, and there's lots of biblical language around, you know, the head and the foot and everything working together in order for the body to work together. So if God is doing something in you, that's something not just for you. Of course, it's most intimately for you, but it's also for me. It's also for us. And when we, and a lot of times what you'll start to see, when your eyes are open enough, you'll start to see patterns. Like, God is doing this type of thing in our community, or that type of thing, or he's stirring up this type of passion in us, or this type of desire. For instance, I think when we first came to Redondo, there was no affiliation with Redondo. It was just simply, hey, we got a call from St. Andrews, and they said, hey, if you want it somewhere to meet, you can meet here. And we kind of thought, well, we like the beach, so let's just go, and we'll office that way, and we'll find, you know, Redondo, I guess, will be where we go for now. But as time has gone on, I think we as a staff and many of us in the congregation have started feeling like, man, Redondo kind of feels like where we're supposed to be right now. Maybe not forever. I mean, that I don't want to put some like seal on that. But I think right now we really feel this sense of like God's doing something in us in Redondo. He's opening doors for us to have Easter in the park. I mean, there's just, it feels like this is where we're supposed to be. We care for this city. And so that's the kind of thing where you start to see patterns. Oh, you have a heart for Redondo too? Well, me too. Oh, that person does too. Wow, I feel like God's pressing something on all of our hearts, and we're starting to sense through prayer that God is moving, and there's a collective thing happening. But what I'm saying is, it starts with an individual prayer life. So, So that's I didn't really tell my story, but that I just wanted to say that. You know, there have been multiple times, and I'm not going to tell my story anymore, but there was a time about a month ago when I went up for prayer, and I went up and I was talking to our friend Sam Van Wagner. The Van Wagners are amazing. Shout out to the Van Wagners, because yep. They are also people that should have trading cards, yes. Prayer trading cards. But I went up to Sam you know, I was kind of sharing with him that I've been kind of estranged from some of my family for a while, and that my heart is just breaking for them. And one of them being my own dad. I hadn't talked with him for about 6 years. And after Sam and I prayed, literally a week later, my dad called me for the first time in a couple years. Like, and could it be a coincidence? Of course. But I mean, we're talking like, I haven't talked to him in years, and yet he's now called me since that conversation, which was only a couple months ago, now like three times. And we've started talking again. So it could be nothing, or it could be something. Mm-hmm. And yet I want to trust that God's involved regardless. So, I just want to say like, you know, that's an individual thing that God's doing in me that then can translate to be encouraging to the rest of the body.
Yeah.
And so I think the story of the church is a story of individuals, not the story of a group it's not necessarily the story. Well, it is a story of a group, but it's not the story of just, you know, Coastline's doing this one thing. Well, guess what? There's like churches all over the South Bay that are all doing the thing. We're all doing it, right? So.
But it's a story that it starts in an individual, maybe journaling or quiet time or an individual's prayer life, and then it turns into something for the community.
Correct. And yeah, that's kinda what I'm trying to say.
That's kind of what a praying church is. It's a group made up of individuals who pray. And I think that's something that we should really highlight, that Coastline as a praying church, you're not sitting in the pews waiting for Michael and Tiffany to start the prayer ministry. You're not waiting for them to say, we are now a praying church. They're waiting for you to say, I'm praying now. And then we can all, as a church, right, experience that individual's growth in prayer. And I think that's a really beautiful picture. I think that's like the Foley family way of doing it, right? Like that's the Foley family way of doing it, of saying like your individual prayer life matters so much that it affects all of us.
That's really good. Yeah.
Which I love. I love that. And so let's talk specifically about being on the prayer team here at Coastline, because we're a church that prays and we have a prayer team. And what does that mean? Michael, Tiffany, as people who help run it and, you know, do all the prayer training things and all that. Well, what does it mean? Someone listens and they say, I want to be on the prayer team. What would that entail? What would it mean for them to jump on?
Well, I mean, I believe prayer is for everyone, right? Everybody prays. Everybody can pray. We should all be praying. Mm-hmm. But to be part of the prayer team, like we're not just gonna like willy-nilly throw everyone up there, right? Like I think Michael and I meet often and we pray about different people and who we think would be a great fit. Not because they've got some kind of like
trading card.
Right. But just that discernment to know, like, this is really somebody's gift that God has given them, to be able to come alongside, and intercede on behalf of the church and the individuals within the church. And so, we take that very seriously, because we know coming forward for prayer or putting a prayer request out takes an incredible amount of vulnerability, and so we want to find people who take that seriously, who really are committed to prayer, not just on a Sunday morning after service, but people who are praying throughout the week as prayer requests come in, and that intentionality, people who are willing to hold people's prayer requests with confidentiality, that, you know, if you come forward, this isn't something that's going on blast, right? Mm-hmm. Like I've shared this with someone and now everyone in the church knows all of my stuff. People that have a heart for God that really just want to intercede on behalf of other people. And, I let Michael do all the hard stuff.
all the admin stuff. Let me ask you, because Tiffany and Michael, to answer something, Tiffany, you said discernment, and we have a sense that they have a gift of prayer. So prayer's for everybody, but there's a gift of prayer. Help me out. Help me understand that.
I think the Bible, you know, I'm one who believes in spiritual gifts, that the Lord has given each a measure of gifting. You know, as evidenced in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians and all throughout the New Testament, there's a bunch of little areas. But, you know, I'm one that believes in the spiritual gifts. So some of those gifts are gifts of mercy, gifts of discernment, you know, gifts of faith. And so I think that those type of people who are really merciful and have a lot of mercy, so that when someone is in need of an extra dose of mercy because they're going through it, they've got someone with a tender heart, a compassionate heart, who wants to come alongside and listen and care and love. For someone who needs extra faith because they're struggling to believe, to have someone who can come alongside and have faith for this person, that the Lord actually will step in and will do what he promises. Mm. You know, someone who needs discernment, and that gift actually can be confusing. Sometimes people look at it as like a spiritual discernment for things that we should or shouldn't be doing. And other people look at it like discerning of spirits, but either way, honestly, we probably should have those people on the prayer team. People who have the gift of listening, you know, the ability, someone who is trained in listening, even if it's not a spiritual gift, someone who just knows how to listen well and how to ask the right questions and how to not talk too much like I'm doing right now.
No, I think it's good. The spiritual gifts, I think, are completely legit. And the one thing I want to say, and I'm sorry because I know I interrupted you.
That's okay.
But the one thing I want to say about the people on the prayer team is truly, I think everyone's biggest gift is just being faithful to say yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, it's really true.
I mean, I know these people. These people are phenomenal people. But they're as broken as, you know, the next guy. We all are. I am completely. Like, the fact that God uses me, I laugh constantly. I'm like, seriously, God, really? You know, because we're all kind of a mess, right? We all have our stuff. I need prayer. I went up to Mr. Van Wagner the other day and was like, please pray for me. Like, so we need it as much as everybody else does. And I think as much as we try to discern the people that come to us or what we try to pursue for the prayer team, they're just regular folks who really just love to pray, right?
Right. Yeah, they're regular folks who have been trained, right?
Talk about training for a second.
Yeah, so we have prayer training, and there's kind of, it's not like there's, I don't know, I never want it to be too harsh, right? It's not like a do's and don'ts, hard do's and don'ts, but there is like an order to how we pray at Coastline. Like for instance, we like to pray with our eyes open. So that as we're praying for an individual, we can look at them and see what's happening in them physically. What are we seeing? Are they crying? Because if they're crying, that probably tells us something about their heart and what's going on deeply, and it informs how we pray. So things like that. There is a training that goes on with our prayer team members that helps them know how to best pray, or pray in a way that's going to be orderly in our services and helpful, most helpful. But all this to say, I think, Tiffany, where you were getting at, what you were getting at, which I think is super important and I don't want to miss it, is that you don't have to have some crazy gift to pray.
Right.
Or to even be on our prayer team.
Right.
Right.
And a lot of times I think it's the faithful act of saying, I'm just going to try this out. I don't know if I've got a gift. I don't know if I'm special for this. That even reveals that you have a gift. I don't think, Tiffany, when you first started praying, that you were like, well, I've got the gift of faith, so I'm going to go do this.
I'm a sixth grader. I got the gift of faith.
Right. I think it was just you going, I think prayer works, and I want to believe that it does. And then through over time, you're realizing, you're seeing God work through it in you and in others.
Yeah.
And then you go, man, maybe I have a knack for this. But it was the faithful act of saying, I'm just going to step out. So I just want to say that to curb anyone's thoughts of like, man, I don't know if I have that gift, so I don't know if I should do this.
Yeah, they're like, I'm going to skip this episode, whatever. I don't want to be. Yeah, totally. I love that, Michael. Yes, Tiffany, what's up?
As I've grown in my prayer life, there was a season of my life as God was doing something in me to bring me to this point of being a prayer person, whatever that is, where I was telling God no all the time, all the time. He would tell me these crazy things, and I'm like, nah, I don't think so. Like, I hear what you're saying. And it took a season of me saying no and missing some opportunities that then God later showed me were opportunities before I could get to that place where I could feel confident enough to say yes. And the second I said yes to the crazy things that God was doing, that it was like the floodgates opened up.
Yeah.
So weird.
And I really love how you kind of just named what I really wanted to take away from this conversation, which is to be on a prayer team, to be trained, to say yes. It's all a journey.
Totally.
Like, you're listening to this podcast right now, and you probably don't know, but someone listening to this podcast will be on the prayer team at Coastline. And right now they're not thinking, I'm going to join the prayer team next Sunday. Yep. They're thinking, not me. And then they say yes to something later, and they say yes to something later. And then 2 months, 3 months, 5 months, 6 months, 8 months, a year from now, they're like, wait, now I am on the prayer team. Like, I went on this journey, and all I needed to do is start was just say yes to the small thing. And then eventually the crazy becomes not so crazy, and I can just say yes.
For sure. And it's okay to say no. Like, that's the thing. Like, I said no. I probably have said no more than I've ever said yes. But, like, you know, because it just... I was in that place where I wasn't ready for what God was doing. And so he was walking me along. And so if you're a person who's out there thinking this is not for me, but yet I kind of have this nagging thing kind of going on with me, just know it's okay to say no. Cause when you're ready, God will give you something that you say yes to.
I want to go back to this idea of saying no for a second, because this leads me into a question I have. It's Coastline service. It's over. Benediction, someone's like, hey, we have prayer partners up front. They want to pray for you. It's members of our prayer team. They listen to this podcast. They're like, sick. But they don't go up and ask for prayer. In fact, they've never gone up and asked for prayer. And they can't imagine going up and asking for prayer. They are consistently, Tiffany, as you said, saying no. What would you want to tell that person who's a little sheepish about going up and asking for prayer? They're thinking, someone's going to see me. They're going to think that my marriage is falling apart. They're going to think I'm in bankruptcy, or that I'm struggling with some sin, or I have cancer. I don't want to do that. I just have this little thing. I just have this small thing. I'm not going to go up and ask for prayer. What would you say to that person?
Okay. I think I have an answer. or I think I have, you know, this may be helpful, maybe not. First of all, I think what we have to remember is that prayer is not just about the people who are just the most broken among us. Prayer, going in for intercessory prayer is not just an act of my marriage is falling apart, I just lost my job, my kids aren't following Jesus, I'm sinning. You know, that is not what intercessory prayer is all about. Are those things a part of intercessory prayer? Yes, intercession is totally, that is totally a part of it. But there's also aspects of intercession such as I have a praise. The Lord has done a good thing in me and I've got to share it with someone and I know that this person will listen. Yep. And I know that this person will celebrate with me. Actually, in fact, maybe we were praying for healing a few weeks ago and now I want to go back and tell Mr. Sam Van Wagner again about, hey, let me tell you what happened in my family. My dad called me back, right? And so what I want to say is that it's not just for the congregants, it's for the pastors and the leaders as well.
I just love that. I mean, just to quickly highlight that moment of like, you might be going up to Sam Van Wagner on a Sunday and being like, hey, praise report. And you're thinking as a congregant watching Michael go up, you're like, oh no, Michael's an atheist now. Right? But like, it could be as good as someone reporting a praise report.
Right.
Absolutely.
And this is the one that I think I really, if you're listening to this podcast and you resonate with, you know, what Hunter said earlier, I don't really think I'll ever go up for prayer. This is the one that I think most of us land in. The one of, I don't feel good. I don't feel bad. Nothing's going on. And here I am in the service wishing that something was going on, wishing that I had some way towards the Lord today. Whether it was through pain or through rejoicing, I wish that I had some way to feel today because I'm just kind of feeling like I'm here. I think that's where a lot of us find ourselves at church. And that might be the most important time to go and get prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I need someone to just sit with me and go, what is God doing in my heart? What is God doing in my life? I don't feel anything today. That sermon didn't hit me at all. Those worship songs, blah, I'm not into it. Like none of this has really felt like it's doing anything in me. Now, I'm not saying that that's a bad place to be. What I'm saying is that that may be the place where you need the most discernment and help and someone to just come along and be like, let's talk about it. And there, okay. And so I guess what I want to say is that if you are watching as people go forward and you're going, oh my gosh, that person's got a lot going on in their life. They must be really messed up. Or my issues just aren't big enough. Those people are going to look at it and think it's just not big enough, or they're going to be shocked by it. It's so big that they're just going to be shocked by what I say. First of all, no, you're not. No one's going to be shocked by, no, we're not. No one's going to be shocked by what you share. And the second thing is like, no one knows what you're coming up for. You could simply be coming up for, hey, I just don't know what God's doing. And I just want to share that. And maybe I'll come and share that for the next 5 weeks in a row. And this person will track with me for 5 weeks and be praying for me for 5 weeks. And maybe we'll see some movement. Maybe we won't. But I just want to do it. I want to do it together.
Yeah. And I think it really goes back to what we were saying in the beginning about like the individual experience, right? Like if you're an individual and you're watching someone go up for prayer and you're like, oh boy, well, hey, pause, listen to yourself. Why is that the first thing you think, right? And how come we have created a culture where that's an appropriate thing for people to think so much of that some people don't even go up and ask for prayer because they're afraid of what people might think, right? Like, so it does really start in the individual, not only of the one going up, but the one watching going up, the one seeing going up. And so let me ask you guys this, someone listening right now, they're maybe not ready to go up for prayer, but they see someone go up for prayer. What's the heart attitude that you'd want that person to have?
Okay. I know I've been talking a lot, but okay, I have one more answer to that. Everyone wishes that they were the person going forward for prayer. Everyone wishes that that was them, right? And now you might be saying, well, not me. Well, actually, I think most of us actually deep in our heart wish that we were having some moment with God. We wish that that God was stirring in us something that was strong and deep and meaningful. And in fact, most of us at some point in our lives have felt that, have experienced that. So I think if you frame it in less of a, man, that person's got some real issues that they need to be dealt with, and you frame it more in the sense of they're doing business with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings who loves them and who cares for them so deeply. If you frame it there, then yeah, everyone wishes that that was them, right? And so here's the image I have in my head. If you've ever seen the Dead Poets Society, and the key moment of that is when everyone just starts standing up on their desks, right? It took one person saying yes, and they stand up on their desk. And then the next person says yes and stands up on their desk. And the next thing you know, there's this crazy awesome moment where everyone's standing on their desk in respect. That's kind of what could happen at Coastline. If just someone stopped wishing that they were the person going forward and just was the person who went forward.
That's rad. I love that.
And I think too, I think it is, it's so okay to be terrified to do it. That's okay. Because you know what? You're not the only one. I guarantee it. There's probably 10 people in front of you, 10 people behind you, 10 people to the right and to the left that are just as scared as you.
Yep.
But I think that picture that you just gave, Michael, is so good, because it is like these kinds of things are contagious in a great way. Like when you are the person that is vulnerable enough to step forward and say, I need prayer for whatever, whether it's a blessing or it's, you know, something that's really hard. When you go forward, you're going to be received with so much care and grace. Like our prayer team is phenomenal. These are phenomenal people who are, like I said, they're just regular people, but they will, they know how to receive you well. And so you don't have to be afraid. Like I want people to see people go forward and say, wow, that's super, super brave. I want to be brave like that.
Yes. And Tiffany, I love that you looped it back to something you said earlier about regular Joe, you know, broken, whatever, that's the person that is praying for you. Like, there is nothing that I think we as humans want more than to just like feel seen. And it's so, I think it's actually kind of a farce when we think that we need like somebody who's like a status above us or like better than us to see us. Like the idea of like the celebrity looking at you and you know, thinking you're cool, or like, I don't know, that Super Bowl commercial where like the guy throws the jersey to the kid in the locker room. Like we want that moment. But like, I really think the more validating moment is when someone just like us looks at us and says like, hey, what's up? Or, hey, can I pray for you? And so to continually, you know, take the shine off of the prayer team and say like, they're not like walking on water on their way to church, you know, like they're just like you, like they're in the Starbucks line in the drive-thru and they're frustrated at the guy in front of them.
Yep.
Or they're mad at their kids, or they're really stressed about their finances. The only difference is that they've said yes to be on the prayer team and they're excited to be just like you and pray for you. Yeah. And I think like when you can just take the mystical out of it, like I think that's when you really get people who want to be a part of the prayer team, and when you really get people who want to experience the good of the prayer team. And so that's something I love that you just said of like regular Joe praying for you, regular Joe sees you, regular Joe, and guess what? They want to pray for you.
Yep.
And that is one of the most remarkable things, I think, that a church like Coastline with the size and the story that we have, like we are all in this together and we want to continually be with one another, fully family with one another as we pray and as we are doing this journey together. I absolutely, absolutely love that. Michael, you look, you're about to say something. I'm going to let you rip, man. What you got?
I was just going to say, I think I want to be careful when I say this, but I look at the Asbury revival that just happened, and I guess is still happening to a certain degree. If you haven't heard about this, you should go look it up. Asbury University. There was a revival that happened there recently.
It's pretty cool.
It's really cool. And, you know, it harkens back to like the Jesus movement or the Azusa Street revival or even further before that. But when you watch it, it's on YouTube. When you watch the sermon, right, the guy who was preaching, apparently afterwards he like texted his wife and was like, that was a stinker.
Yeah.
You know, like it's kind of like there was nothing really happening. I watched it. It's just, it was a good sermon. Like it wasn't terrible. Wasn't amazing. Wasn't anything like flashy. There was no, any. it just was kind of what it was. And then the worship starts after and it was fine. And apparently just one guy walked up afterwards and was like, I think I'm going to play another song. And that's where it started. It was just a guy who said yes. It was a guy who, in the mundane, not in some fabulous moment, just said yes. And I think that's what's been one of the most profound things if you followed the Asbury Revival so far, is that everyone who's been there walks back and says, it's the real deal. It was totally birthed out of just normalness. Mm. It was not some like fancy kind of stirred up emotional moment. It was birthed out of just simply people saying yes. And I think that we have the ability to say yes too.
That's available to us at Coastline.
It's available to us at Coastline. And by no means am I saying like the end goal of Coastline is to have a revival.
Right.
That's not the end goal. The end goal is to do life with Jesus, whether that's in a revival, like the formal sense of a revival, or if that's just a revival of my heart, right?
And like we were saying, if it happens in the individual, it benefits the body.
100%.
Right. Well, and I think to that point too, I'm sitting here thinking of all of these things. And I think the one thing that I love about prayer is, and this is really the individual part, is I think prayer is one place where God really is starting to refine our character and our stories and redeem our stories and kind of our decisions and our life, right? And so in all of this, prayer is a really great tool for us to be able to then tell our stories. And when we tell our stories as the individual, that is again where we come back. And now we've got this collective, this body, right, that is sitting in the story saying, maybe my story resonates with one person. And that one person, maybe it doesn't resonate with everybody, but it resonates with one person. And maybe their story resonates with another. And this is where you have kind of that slow, organic movement where we then, as a church family, are really getting to know each other, to care for each other, and to grow together. And that, to me, that is what I think prayer is why it's so special for me, because it really is just that. That is that tool to just really help us refine who we are in Christ.
I feel like my head's going to fall off because I'm nodding so hard in this episode. Not nodding off, like falling asleep, but like I cannot be in more agreement with you guys. Like I want this to be Coastline, this type of church, this type of praying church. And so as we kind of wrap up here, I just want to ask you guys one last question. What is one resource? Someone's listening right now and they're like, I want to be a prayer. One resource you'd point them to, and maybe not a book or a podcast, but like, Michael, I see you've printed out some prayers here on the table, like a prayer that someone can maybe start implementing in their own prayer life that will help put them on the journey. Or maybe it is a podcast, maybe it is a book, but just the simple question of, okay, I want more. I want my prayer life to look like more. What would you tell them?
Do you have anything, Tiffany?
I know. I'm like, Hunter, not what we talk about.
I know. Sorry, guys.
Can I just say this? I'm like not a resource girl. Not really not. Like not a resource girl.
It's
not
on her trading card. It's not a resource girl.
It's not my gift.
That is so funny.
I would just say yes.
Say yes.
When the Holy Spirit is prompting you, he's not going to take you somewhere scary and leave you. So just say yes.
Ugh, wow.
Because when you say yes, God does such cool things.
Man, it's very rare that like that's something that I need to hear as I do the podcast. But man, oh man, that speaks to me on a deep level, Tiffany. Thank you. Thank you for wrecking my brain and my heart right now for that word.
For not being a resource girl.
No, for that, for saying that thing of just like with the Holy Spirit's not going to leave you out to dry. Like that's really something good that I've been praying about.
Yeah.
And like in this conversation, you know, you saying yes to being on the prayer team all those months ago led you to this couch to have this conversation on this day where you say something that really, really I needed to hear. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I think you're spot on. The Holy Spirit himself is the greatest resource when it comes to prayer, right? I mean, he's praying. In fact, the Bible says that he's interceding on our behalf with groans that we can't even express, that's what the Spirit's doing on our behalf. So yeah. Even when we don't even know how to pray, even when we feel like so ill-equipped, he's doing it for us. So we can go to him with our requests and know that even if it comes out wrong, he knows our heart and he's praying the right things to the Father for us.
Totally.
So I, you know, that's one of the benefits of being a child.
We're not
of God.
Alone in this, right? This is not a solo journey. Yes.
No, love it. But it is a solo journey. And then it comes to the body. It's just beautiful. Like it just, the things that we're bringing up, these like motifs of individual and corporate and all these things, like it just keeps coming up. Like there's this conversation I feel like is so relevant because I think it's going to speak to everybody in our congregation. And I've really been blessed by it. So Holy Spirit's the greatest resource. That's a spiritual cop out. Give me another one.
I would say, I mean, and we've been here already, but not everyone was here when we went through this book, but Where Prayer Becomes Real by
The Dark Mark
Strobel
on My Heart.
Co. Yeah, I know. We're not going to talk about the Dead Podcast.
The Dead Podcast Society.
The Dead Podcast Society. But that book is amazing and is really great at cultivating a healthy individual prayer life, which once again, this starts in an individual place, right? And the second thing I would say are... The Prayers of Intention, which I was introduced to at my time at the Spiritual Formation Department when I was getting my degree at Talbot. But the Prayers of Intention are these daily prayers that you can be praying. And it's what I do. It's kind of a key to my prayer life. I do it in the shower. And there are five specific ones that, that are laid out by John Coe. But, the prayer of presenting oneself as a sacrifice, the prayer of reconciliation, prayer of honesty, prayer of discernment, and then, in receptivity to the Spirit, we hear the word of God in prayer. And so what these prayers of intention are is it's kind of a way to say, God, here's my day. Whatever I do today, I do this in you. I don't want to do it alone or in my own power or as a way to hide or cover. I don't want to find my identity in anything but Christ. I'm in Christ and I am beloved and he's my true identity. So it's a way of just saying today as I go about my day, my identity is a child of God foremost. And so I start my day with that prayer every day in the shower. And then I pray whatever's on my heart as well. I kind of have a rote prayer and then I have just free prayer, whatever I want to pray every day. And that starts my day well. And I would encourage that you end your day there too, if you want. But I just think that's we can probably link, show notes to the prayers of intention so that you guys can see those. But, that's another just great individual resource to start praying and start engaging with God in a daily way so that then, your faith can grow and your ability and desire for more of God can grow. And your ability to see what he's doing in you can grow. I also would encourage spiritual direction. So if you're interested in that, email me.
Definitely.
We've got people that we would love to plug you in with, that I think helps grow a prayer life as well.
Wonderful. And again, kind of to end it with the point we've been making, like it's all individual, but it ends up benefiting the body of Coastline. And that's what we want. To be a church that prays, it starts with the individual who prays. And so if you were listening, you are now a prayer. I promise you, I will go home and I am now a prayer warrior. I'm very excited about it. Thank
forward.
You guys.
Come forward for prayer.
That's your call this Sunday. Come forward for prayer. Michael, thank you for being on the podcast. Tiffany, thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
You can find her trading cards at Target and Amazon and wherever you get trading cards, tops.com. Thank you for listening to the podcast. We will see you next week and every single week after that.